coming to our town. It's gonna be good.
Hope it don't flood.
Oh, it's floods of streams.
Good afternoon, Clear Creek County. This is the it's not the morning with Mozart.
It is not.
Show.
It's not Saturday yet, Mark.
It's What's Upstream, and that lovely voice is Lori Beckel. Hi, Lori. Yeah,
hello,
she's the co-host,
Mark.
Here on the show. I'm Mark Cuccinella. This is KYGT LPFM 102.7, 103.9 on your FM dial, streaming most of the time over clearcreekradio.com. If Comcast doesn't cooperate, then that's not our fault. Okay.
Yeah, and we'll just make the apology right now. Those of you trying to stream us who may re-listen to the show on Friday, we understand the internet is down. So yeah. We're live. Go to the radio and listen to us live on the radio.
Yeah, we're all over the valley, so please tune us in on your radio. Do you remember how to turn that dial to dial us in? I hope you do.
At 102.7 and 103.9, Mark?
Yeah, that's it.
That would be it.
Okay, Lori, would you like to introduce our esteemed guest today?
I very much would.
All right.
Just delighted to have as I told the first graders this morning, the big bosses are going to be on the radio because we brought the first graders over here to the radio station this morning for a field trip. And they sat
nice.
In these very chairs and spoke in the microphones. And I told them that the big bosses would be here in a little while and we would be live on the radio. And
nice.
They thought they were the big bosses, just like a first grader does.
Right.
Anyway, we are pleased today to have Wes Paxton, our new superintendent. Do you still consider yourself new?
I would say I'm still new for this year, but I'm starting to become kind of accustomed, so I'm planning to be here for many more years to come.
Terrific. Oh,
yeah.
We love hearing that,
yes.
Don't we, Jessica?
I do. I do indeed.
And Jessica North,
yes.
Who is the president of our school board.
Yes.
So happy to have our school folks
I should have shaved
on with us
right
today. Yeah, you may be in trouble again, Mark, just like the old school days.
We won't go there.
Anyway, yeah, let's just get started with Superintendent Paxton.
Sure.
And maybe ask you to just introduce yourself to us and where you come from and how you got here.
Well, Lori, Mark, thank you very much for inviting us to come and share a little bit about the school district and what's going on. So I'm Wes Paxton. I'm the superintendent of Clear Creek School District, proud superintendent. This is my first year here, my 34th year in public education here in Colorado.
Wow.
Started in Denver Public Schools as a baby teacher and grew up and went to Commerce City for quite a little while, worked as a principal there, and then went up to Greeley and was hired by Jeffco. So I've been in Jeffco for, 13, almost 14 years, working with the mountain schools. So Conifer Evergreen and Devlin were my articulation areas that I had. So really accustomed to the mountain communities of our area. And then someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, you should look at Clear Creek. And I did a little talking to folks and a little research. And I said, sure, I think it'd be a great opportunity. And fortunately, was hired by the Board of Education. And I've enjoyed the experience since.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing we're going to hear from Jessica that they've enjoyed you, too.
I cannot tell you how grateful I am for this man, that he shows up every day, gives 120,000%.
It's way up there.
Man, I say October, we had fire, flood,
and
lack
wind.
Of water, wind. I when he survived October, I knew we were going to have him for a while. So, but yeah, we definitely gave him some opportunities straight out of the gate to
right.
really test every one of his skill sets. So, you know, you've been great in the community,
Thank you.
Meeting with partners like this, coming mm-hmm. here on the radio and sharing our story on KGOAT, but also just, you know, being present for our educators, our leaders, our students. So thank you.
Sure.
So Jessica, yeah. Jessica mm-hmm. North, tell us, introduce yourself to us.
Yes.
Please do.
Say, I moved back to Colorado in 2019. My family had moved from the Golden Area to Mississippi. The 5-year plan turned into almost 20, but I was so grateful that we made it back before COVID. Mm-hmm. My 3 children all graduated from Clear Creek High School. We did some research when we came back. We wanted to be in a school district that all of our kids would be seen and heard and would be able to become their best selves. Mm-hmm. And we made the right decision. It was a little painful there in 2020.
Yeah.
But so they were just really getting their feet under themselves. But mm-hmm. man, Clear Creek really just did amazing things, reaching out to the students during that time, engaging with them and making sure that they continued to move forward, because it was hard on adults.
it's amazing when we think back, and we rarely do, when mm-hmm. we think back of at the beginning and the height of COVID and the deaths that were all around us, the severe illness and the adaptation that we all had to make to that mm-hmm. circumstance. It was crazy.
Yes.
And the school district pulled through with flying colors.
Yes.
It really did. Mm-hmm. I thought that they did an outstanding job.
So, yes, I know we made the right decision moving to Clear Creek. So we were here about 2 years when I got the tap to run for school board. Mm-hmm. So I've been on the board since November of 21, then was tapped as president in November of 23, and I'm glad to still be serving in that role now. So,
and thank you for your leadership.
Oh, yeah, indeed.
I have learned so much.
Not
so
an easy
much.
Job. I also, many years ago, was the president of the school board, and not an easy job.
Yeah. You have been a great resource. I have leaned on you quite a few times, so thank you.
Yeah, I heard George Marlin, speaking of COVID, mm-hmm. I heard George Marlin, one of our commissioners, say recently that Clear Creek County, even though the mask policy and the policy to not be in school, do online school, and then not do online school, was the only school district in Colorado that didn't have to close again. Mm. Have
yes.
you? Is that true? Had you
I'm
ever heard that?
I'm not entirely sure on that.
Yeah.
I can't speak to it, but you know, that's great if it's that.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, he was talking mm-hmm. about the wise decisions, your mm-hmm. partnership mm-hmm. with public health, and really making database decisions mm-hmm. that really did the best thing for children and families during
yes.
COVID.
I can see why that is such a significant aspect to this county, is that because of the fact that our kids don't live next door to each other. They live distance from each other. If you look at where our families are spread out between all the way to Georgetown, all the way to Evergreen, and here and there between, they need the opportunity to socialize. Mm-hmm. And when you are isolated at home, it makes a real challenge for the kids. And so that socialization is so important. I can see why that was significant for this community.
Yeah.
Let's just take a moment to pat ourselves on the back as a community, because Clear Creek County has always punched above its weight.
Right.
And one of the reasons why is that when it's time to collaborate, we're very practical people, and that's our default position. And when COVID came along, the default position was so instrumental in bringing together the community, including the health department and the county commissioners and the school district and all the communities, and everybody's saying, what's the best science? What can we do? What's the practical way forward based on what we're being told by the people who know the best at this exact moment in time? So it was great, and I'm always hopeful that our institutions will remain strong because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's point, I'll get off my high horse.
Yeah, good point. Well, Wes, how has this first year been for you?
It's been great. I love the fact that I'm meeting new people. I'm engaging with people I've known for many years, too, because it's interesting how the mountain communities are all somewhat connected to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I've met people whose kids go to school here in Clear Creek, and they work somewhere in Jefferson County, like in Conifer. I know a lot of folks that I've connected with in Evergreen. They also connect here, too. I was at a Rotary meeting this morning, and one of the topics was wildfire readiness. And so we had some Rotarians from Evergreen who came and spoke about that project and engaging the Clear Creek Rotary Club in that to provide safety for our families who live in the community and our businesses. And so having those folks there and connecting with them again was fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah, terrific. Yeah.
So, but it's been good. I mean, I have a very supportive board. They're making very difficult, challenging decisions based on economy right now, the needs of our students and our staff. And so I like working the fact that we have great conversations and thoughtful conversations about how do we take care of our students, take care of our staff, and make sure that our buildings are here for generations after us being here to make sure they're running for the best of our community and supporting our community.
Yeah. Let's see. You have two fairly new board members elected
yes.
last November, and then the other three people who've been on the board for a while.
Yes, so I was just elected to my second term.
Mm-hmm.
We have two that were elected in 23 and then two new ones in 25. So,
yeah.
Yes, so I love that we are elected for the area of the county that we work mm-hmm. in or live in,
mm-hmm.
and then we are voted on by the entire community mm-hmm. because we represent the whole. So it is an amazing group of, right now it's all women, with the exception of Wes. So we each bring our own unique strengths and perspectives. And I don't know, I just feel like when we have deep conversations, we really get to the heart of issues and are making really wise decisions moving forward for the community as a whole.
I'd like to ask you, both of you, and we're talking now, so we'll start here. What are some of the goals of the school district? I'm sure you've done some planning for the future, and what are some of the objectives that you hope to reach?
See, they are many. They are plentiful. We are about to engage in that journey again of rebuilding our strategic plan
mm-hmm.
Now that we have a new leader who mm-hmm. is staying with us. So some of it is rebuilding foundation. This is the first year since I've been on the board, perhaps even since I moved back into the Colorado community and Clear Creek community, that we don't have a change in leadership in our director level and above. Mm-hmm. Definitely if we include our school leadership as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that
wow.
is huge. So I want to start with that mm-hmm. it is amazing
yeah.
to go into, be looking into a year where we're not experiencing change.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have that shared plan mm-hmm. to move forward. We're looking at our curriculum. And this is not unique to Clear Creek. When we made that move to Chromebooks and that technology, which mm-hmm. is great. I mean, we want our kids to be technology sound, but they've lost some things when there's not curriculum that moves them strategically, in that vertical alignment. So mm-hmm. we've done a huge amount of work on that since I joined the board. But Wes has helped us see where the gaps are and helped us. Again, it all comes back to finances. And I know we'll talk about that some more later.
You bet.
But, really just making sure that we are preparing our students on every level. That technology piece most kids are getting in their lives at home.
What are some of the resources mm-hmm. that you're relying on as you think through the process of reviewing the curriculum?
Well, that's where we engage in a lot of conversation with our educators because they're mm-hmm. the boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them have, and I'm thinking specifically at the elementary level, but we have educators who are always kind of testing some programming for us mm-hmm. and elevating that. And so a lot of our changes have come from those folks testing at the elementary level and then us kind of growing it then up through the high school level.
So they're putting it in their daily plans, mm-hmm. and they're seeing if it's working, and then they're reporting back.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd say I could name drop some really amazing educators that we have, but they all are working. You said punching above their weight level. Yes. Every single one, every single day.
Yeah.
Yeah. The curriculum really is the science of teaching. So it helps mm-hmm. the teachers have that foundation of how are we aligned to the standards, making sure the students can perform those standards on assessments when they start developing their critical thinking skills and saying, how do I resolve a problem that I see on a test that I may not understand it well, but having that science of teaching there available to them that helps them build those skills to say, how do you problem solve? So the curriculum we use gives them that opportunity. And we hear over and over from our parents and from our students, how do we make it more engaging for the students? So the curriculum we use at the elementary level really allows the students to be engaged. For example, having the field trip here to the radio station before we came this morning, that's part of that learning experience, is how do you bring that back to the classroom and think about that, the roles of your jobs and what you do to make this all happen, mm-hmm. the science behind that too. Then that helps the students understand that more when they see that in their books and say, oh, well, I remember going to the radio station. I remember having conversations with Lori and Mark about their roles on a radio station. Then the part of it is the teacher, the art of teaching. How do they bring in the nuances of their experience and their craft to help take that science of teaching into the next level, knowing the students in the classroom and what their individual needs are, and how I help them learn that material, but also how to make it engaging for them, and how do I make connections with, for example, Lori, how do I help you if you're a bright, bright student and you really need to be challenged, how do I help you challenge you with some questions I may ask you to make you think about it more, or think about how you might use it in your own personal life or something like that. And Mark, I may say, hey, I'm seeing you struggling with this. How can I help you? What can I do to support you so you can learn this and be able to apply it either in an assessment or a project we're doing in the classroom? Mm-hmm.
I see that every time I'm in first grade.
Right.
I see Ms. Boger's, really challenge the children to internalize the math concepts.
Well said, well said.
Through critical thinking mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and the kinds of reflective questions she asks them really is so different than the ditto sheets and, the rote math learning that I had growing up in Littleton Public Schools. Mm-hmm. And it is so engaging for those children.
Right, helping those students find their problem-solving skills.
Yes.
So there's different ways to approach a math problem. And it may be faster for you to do it one way and faster for me to do it the other way.
Right.
We're not wrong when we say that. But then we start thinking about how do we bring it together? And I say, well, wait a minute, Laura, yours is much more efficient for me in solving the problem. Uh-huh. I'm going to take your method over my method because it'll help me, because I know it's going to get harder. It's not going to get easier when we start doing these math problems, and I want to be more efficient in solving the problem.
I hear that language from Ms. Boger's all the time.
Yep.
Well, that all sounds very promising. Wes, maybe I'll rephrase the question a little bit. During your tenure here, what would be the one thing that you'd want to accomplish more than anything? And, improving the curriculum in some broad general sense, we all get that. But could you focus in on one particular aspect of education that you think everyone should be better at?
Right. So I think one is the strategic plan will help us create that North Star mm-hmm. so that we have alignment from the students coming in preschool all the way to the graduates that graduate every year from Clear Creek School mm-hmm. District, so that we have some pathway of focus that we make sure all students are working towards that profile of a graduate, profile of a learner, so that we're trying to support them because they need those skill sets when they go out and apply for jobs, college, military, whatever that is they choose to do after graduating from our great school district. What are the things they need to have so that they have those durable skills that prepare them for whatever that workforce is looking for, or what that college education looks for, or what that role in the military or so forth looks like. So we make sure we support them that. So that's my ultimate goal, is to create that through our strategic plan so mm-hmm. we have that alignment. The other thing is to make sure that we have the curricular resource, the science of teaching and learning, what I just mentioned earlier, for all our grade levels. And so there are some gaps, which we've been talking about, so we're making sure those are available so it supports the teachers, because our teachers, especially at the secondary level, they don't just teach one class subject, they teach multiple. And that makes it really challenging for teachers when they go from one subject to the next. Mm-hmm. So making sure that the resources will help them with that lesson planning they have to do to make it engaging for all students to have that experience. And I think we have amazing teachers. They just need some help with those resources.
You know, I will look back on my own personal career in school. I'm not an expert in this subject, but I know what I've seen over the years when my kids were in school, et cetera. And it seems to me that there are certain critical points in your educational career that are exceptionally important. Maybe sixth grade might be one of them. Maybe even fourth grade could be one. Certainly, when you get into your secondary grades, high school grades, you would see children that would just kind of lose their way, and I wonder if you ever think of those kind of things, or is that just more of a teacher related issue?
We're always looking at a way we create safety nets for those students because we're a small district. We should be able to come to the table with families and say, we see a student struggling. How can we work in partnership to make sure your student's successful in our schools and try to find what that looks like for your student? Because sometimes it may be different from the student they're sitting next to. It's not wrong or right. It just says, how do we help them access the content, but also build their skill sets? I mean, not all kids are meant to go to certain roles. I mean, the thing we made a mistake of years ago was we're saying every kid's going to college. Well, that may be a role for a lot of our kids, but there might be some kids say, hey, I just want to do some practical experience. I want hands-on experience that will be my job in the future. And as we know, living in the mountains, those jobs are so critical because it's hard to find people to do some of the work on your homes, plumbers, electricians, getting something fixed, car fixed, things like that. Those are jobs that we need for our communities to thrive. I mean, those are the small businesses that help us grow, whether they're restaurants and things like that. So how do we prepare students for those careers, but also careers that don't exist right now, but even 5 years from now? Mm-hmm. I mean, who knew that right now AI would be the job of the future? And we start looking at we're talking about how you program cells to fight cancer. Mm-hmm. That wasn't something we were thinking about just a few years ago. And those are careers right now. So what do we think about preparing kids for something that may not exist today, but they need the foundation of academic experience, durable skills to connect with people who are different from them, who think differently, and how do you problem solve? How do you make sure that you're the best candidate out there when a job comes available so you're the one they choose because they know that kids from Clear Creek are the best candidates.
Yeah. So you're actually utilizing AI in the classroom, or how?
I think it's important for us to not acknowledge it's there, but there's a balance between it. We need to use it to help us understand, like, sometimes misinformation could be on AI. Mm-hmm. And so we have to say, does that sound right? Or does that sound, maybe that's something different that maybe that we should check into that. It also helps us, and sometimes for students who struggle with, how do I start my story? I need a sentence stem. And AI can do that for you.
Right.
You can say, what's the topic? Start a sentence stem and go, oh, I know how to run from this. I can take it from here. So thank you for handing out the baton to me. Now I can run. So it depends on the needs of the students. But I think it's also important for our students to be, they should be able to show their own writing, their own thinking. And so we need to say at some point, close the laptop, take out the pencil, put out the paper, and write what your thinking is.
Yeah.
Because
do
we need to know what
policy?
You...
Is there a specific policy about AI that...
Right. We're working on policies about cell phones and that distraction that happens in the classroom.
That's a state law, right? Each district needs to have a policy on cell phones.
Correct.
And you're working on that now.
We have a policy that says that.
We were actually ahead of that.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
What is the policy in Clear Creek?
Say in our elementary schools, we're not seeing phones a lot, but it does trickle down there a little bit. But at the middle school, high school, the phones are away during the day.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
They are obviously available.
Out of sight, within reach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because a big concern is, unfortunately, school shootings are now an occurrence that our students are all aware of. Mm-hmm. It happened just at Evergreen High. So, there was a lot of pushback, much like Columbine. I mean, that's when I started my career. I was at Junior Achievement, and we had a person on site that day when that shooting happened. She had left like a half an hour before the shooting. So that was how I started my career, and that conversation was happening then. Mm-hmm. You know, cell phones were only just beginning to be a presence, and parents then were like, you know, my kid needs to be able to tell me that they're safe and, mm-hmm. and available. So we had to be very mindful about that balance. So it is wonderful, though, to walk into the cafeteria now and see kids talking to each other.
Excellent. So how long has this policy been in effect?
We worked on that policy just last year.
Okay, so it's this year
that it was fully implemented, but even the principal last year was beginning that practice.
And how have the students kind of dealt with that?
Say that was one of our lunch and learns a couple months ago, and they just talk about the importance of being present. So, you know, we've talked about cell phone usage, but we've also talked about, you know, the importance of just being at school.
Being present for conversations, being present. So when I'm having an issue that I have someone, whether it's an adult or another student, to come talk to. When they talk about safety, in our survey data, the students aren't worried about the safety within our buildings because they've practiced the drills and everything that we have to do. But their safety is, I have an issue, I'm struggling with something, who can I turn to get that support? And that's their safety net, as they would call it, or support system. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for, do we have people who care about them? And so what we're trying to do as a district is make sure that we listen to our students. And we take it into account when we make decisions, so we hear their perspective, because we really depend. I mean, they are our student population, and we work to make sure they're successful.
So, now, do you have peer? Sorry, Mark. Do you have peer counselors that we heard about the advocates a few months ago bringing the peer counseling?
Yes,
supporting the peer counseling program.
I believe that there's some work to move towards that. When I was at Conifer High School, we had an amazing peer counseling program, and they did a lot to support the school culture, also do some work with being ambassadors of the school. So we had folks come tour the school. They were the ones that helped with that. And they also deal with some peer mediation. When sometimes there's conflict between students, they would be used to help kind of resolve some issues. So they were a great resource.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that we could use in our system to make sure that students have a person to go to.
Yeah, for sure. And then the TREC program is very active in...
Yes.
The high school, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, sorry, that's our partner, Mountain Youth Network.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
What the students have really been working on this year is our National Honor Society students are helping to tutor our middle school students. Because that's a place academically where, I mean, so much is happening for students in middle school.
Yeah. peer models.
Yes.
Established at that time when they're badly needed.
Correct.
Yeah,
so
terrific.
We've been really focused on that academic front this year, but the peer counseling is in my heart. That's someplace I would love for us to grow more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, terrific. Mm-hmm. Terrific. Well, Mark, I interrupted you. You were about to ask something.
Oh, that thought passed minutes ago. It's fine.
Before we take a little break, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe we have time for one more question. And it just occurs to me that sounds like a positive step forward, eliminating the cell phones. I don't know why the guys wouldn't want to put their cell phones away anyway. How are you going to meet girls if you're on your phone all day? Take that opportunity at lunchtime when the phones are not unavailable. So anyway, that's part of socializing, I suppose. Anyway.
It's interesting. We've changed from passing notes in class to sending texts to each other now.
Yeah.
So that's why you have to have your phone so I can see what the latest text is, or Snapchat from my friends is about somebody who might be interested in. So.
Yeah, somehow I think the face-to-face interaction is the most productive.
Yes, true that.
So are there other social issues maybe related to technology or not related to technology that are bubbling to the surface? And we'll make that the last question, and then we'll take a little break.
You know, I think one of the things that is fortunate is that we have Safe to Tell in our schools. And then when there's a student who's in crisis or who's a concern, we have that available so students use that resource to let someone in the building know. It doesn't mean the other student's in trouble. It just means we need to get them help so that we
can
help them
out. Could you explain what that is?
So Safe to Tell is a statewide program. It's through the legislation that we have the availability for students, parents, to report someone they see that's in crisis or could be of concern. And they make a report, and then I get a copy of it. The school principal, the assistant principals, the SRO gets a copy of it. The law enforcement gets a copy of it, and gives us a chance to say, okay, we've got something we need to deal with. And so we work through it, work in partnership with the parents to make sure that we check to make sure there's not a threat, there the student's not a risk to themselves. So we make sure they're safe, the population of the school is safe. And we try to resolve what's causing the whatever the report that was brought up. And a lot of times students are the eyes and ears of our schools.
That's
They're
right.
the ones that see things every day. Mm-hmm. They see things on social media. They have those conversations in the cafeteria or in the hallways, and they go, that doesn't seem right. I need to let someone know about this. Mm-hmm. And so it's a great resource.
Confidential.
It's confidential, so we don't know who makes the report. We do send the resolution to the dispatcher, and then they send it to the person who sent it to them. But it's a way of just making sure that everybody's keeping their eyes and ears open, and they have a way of letting people know.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I don't care what government agency you're involved with, school district, municipality, municipal government, whatever it might be, your first and foremost responsibility is to the safety of the people that you're engaged with. And so I'm glad to hear that that's going on.
Right.
Very good. Well, let's take a very brief musical break. We'll all take a deep breath, and we'll be back in just a moment. I will say that stay with us. And sorry again about the internet. Maybe it's back up by now. Probably not. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. This is What's Upstream here on KGOAT Radio, KYGT, LPFM, 102.7, 103.9 on your FM dial, streaming over clearcreekradio.com. That's worldwide 24/7. Lori Beckel.
Hey, Mark, thank you. I do have one public service announcement for those of you who may feel so inclined, concerned about what's going on with the Trump administration. May Day is Friday, May 1st. There is a national action that's called the May Day Action. And on Friday, this action is no work, no school, and no shopping. So fortunately, in Clear Creek County, we're not encouraging students to miss school because they have a four-day school week. But that is the action, hoping that the impact is an economic protest. So if you feel so inclined about anything that has you concerned during this administration, Friday is a day that from your own homes, you can choose to register your concern with the May Day action. Okay, Mark?
Yeah. So shall we continue on?
Let's continue on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we, such an interesting conversation with people who are so deeply involved in, you know, supporting our youth in this community and the families. So good to hear. You know, one of my neighbors is actually graduating in a couple of weeks, and he has been very involved, and probably key to his success has been the vocational education down at
Warren Tech.
And I just wonder if you could talk a little bit about that as an option for some of the students who may be, you were talking about needing plumbers, needing electricians, needing automotive repair people, that being an option for some of our students.
Yeah, I think career technical education is the new terminology we use for it because it's moved more than vocational trades. Mm-hmm. There's three campuses that make Warren Tech. The South Campus is mostly in aerospace, aeronautics, and some digital media. The Central Campus is your traditional vocational things, automotive, electrical, plumbing, building trades. There's an outdoor program there, cosmetology, culinary arts. And then the North Campus is in the education, emergency service, and law enforcement fields.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's great to have us have those facilities just nearby, next door, as we would say. And, you know, we really want our students to get involved in career technical education, whether it's in our school or within the neighboring district at Warren Tech. There is a challenge for us. So Jefferson County does charge us a tuition for those students to be enrolled in the program. And there was a tradition of lasting beyond 2020 where there was a limited number of students who could apply to be in the program. What we're faced with now is that during COVID, we were giving ESSER funds, and that gave us the opportunity to send more kids to that programming. Those ESSER funds have dried up now, and so we are tasked with how to provide opportunities for those students to pursue that. Right now we're limited. We have a number of students who have been accepted to Warren Tech for enrollment, but now the challenge is how we're going to afford that. So mm-hmm. we're trying to reach out. We're working with the Clear Creek Schools Foundation.
I'm glad to hear that. I was just wondering if that could be a resource.
We've also reached out to the Rotary Club here in Idaho Springs to see about them helping us out. They give great scholarships. Both organizations give great scholarships for graduates. We're seeing how can we provide those scholarships to students who are enrolled right now because they can get those trade certifications while they're in high school versus getting it afterwards. Mm-hmm. So those are some challenges. I'll just say right now, with board approval, we're going to try to put a ballot measure on the November ballot 2026 that will give us additional funds, and that will provide some parity in our compensation because we know that we have a four-day school week, which the community has embraced. But at the same time, our teachers are still making less, our staff are making less than our neighboring districts, and we need to have parity to that. Mm-hmm. And it's going to cost money, so that will have the voters having a voice in that. We know that programming is essential for us keeping students in our district and allowing and providing that rich experience for the students. So we're going to need money for CT programming or scholarships to send students to Warren Tech. So these are things you know, we have deferred maintenance on our buildings. We have safety and security measures we need to take into place. We have early childhood we're trying to address too. So these are all things that take money, and so we're going to ask the voters if they'd be willing to help us out with that.
We're going to take a deeper dive into the finances here in a moment, but I just wanted to pursue this question of not just what they used to call it, non-traditional students. I don't know if the terminology is anymore, but I think back once again to my days in school, and you know, I went to school at 8 o'clock in the morning and left at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Went and played with my buds until dinner time, and then spent a couple of hours with my family. I was essentially, my teachers knew more about me day to day than my parents did, and so thinking about that, it makes me wonder, what sort of programs might be available for children that are in crisis, not just academically, but in their lives, in their personal lives. I'm sure that there's a recognition that goes on there, in the community. So I wonder what sort of process you have for that.
Right. Well, one of our philosophies, unspoken, but it's a philosophy of our school district, is we don't want to send students away from our district. We don't want to send some other place. We're on an island called the mountains, mm-hmm. and we want them to grow up in the mountains, mm-hmm. and have their education in the mountains. So what we do is we embrace these students who have maybe some struggles, as you were saying earlier, and we try to work with them individually as educators to see, well, how can we help support them in our classrooms? It does create a challenge because you have kids who, for whatever reason, it could be family situation, it could be an incident happened that was a tragedy or something that sparked some dissatisfaction with the world around them.
Just their own personal emotional journey.
Right. And so we really lean on our counselors. So we have a great partnership with JCMH to provide counseling. We have amazing counselors at the high school who are doing a phenomenal job connecting with them. Our staff every day, you see it at the elementary level, you see it at the middle school, you see it at the high school, that teachers say, hey, I'm observing something here. I need to reach out to somebody. And whether it's them trying to help out or they're reaching out to the counselor or the school administration, how can we support this student? Can we dig deeper and build that partnership that I mentioned earlier with the family and say, can you share something? Like, what's going on at home? So we go, oh, now we understand. So how do we maybe make some modifications mm-hmm. for that student, make sure that they are successful? We have some great staff in at the high school who have become mentors of students. We have the Outdoor Rec and Tech program. Ben is an amazing teacher connecting with those students. And we're expanding that program. We're looking at having it. I think it'll be a partial day next fall, but eventually be a full day program in the fall, where students who say, you know what, I'm going into my senior year, and the four walls and the roof of this building, I want to see what's beyond that. Mm-hmm. I want to see what's out in the world around me. So they get certification. Maybe in wild water rafting certification, safety certification, avalanche certification.
That's great. First aid. Mm-hmm. It's amazing the programming that is coming out of that program for our students. I would like to talk, so kind of mental health and those layers within the community, Mountain Youth Network and TREC, comes right up alongside of us at the middle school, high school. We have an MOU with them to work on kind of identifying some of those students that just need a little more attention and that, one-on-one, every student needs more adults in their lives that are trusted, that they can reach out to and talk through those problems. We've been really working on our truancy policy and that pairs us with CASA, and they have a program now to help us when we've kind of identified students that have a potential truancy issue, to come alongside them with us, walk with them, because they can give that one-on-one attention that those students need. The Rock House has been a great partner in identifying some of those students with tutoring programs and just, again, the mentoring. So it's amazing how this community just comes around our children, wraps their arms around them. But it starts with identifying them. So yeah. that's the part where, it really does come to our educators or that front line.
You know
the wing crawl. yes. is this weekend. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Wing Crawls started with a community member, Carolyn Hone, mm-hmm. who wanted to do an event and wanted to find a nonprofit to do the event for. Mm-hmm. This Wing Crawl is sold out. You will not be able to get tickets. It has become...
We bought early this year.
It has become a great activity. Happens the same first weekend of May every year. Mm-hmm. Makes the money that Loaves and Fishes mm-hmm. needs, our food pantry. Why are we not getting the foundation to let our community know that we need to do some kind of event annually mm-hmm. to support scholarships to Warren Tech?
I love it.
I mean, we have community members who will step up as we've seen them do in prior years, and you will have community members that step up to help you pass your ballot initiative in November.
Thank you.
But do know the needs. I mean, this is one way to get the needs known.
It's a need.
And create a scholarship fund for all of the kids who want to go to any of those amazing programs at Warren Tech. I mean, talk about preparing for your future. How about becoming a firefighter when you're in high school?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I want to make a comment on this, a broad discussion that we've had, because I grew up in a completely different era. I'm an old man now, but I will say that when I in my student career, and I'm sure Lori can attest to this as well. She's not as old as me, but she's getting there. But back in the day, they used to wedge everybody into, they had one vision for what a student was, and everyone was wedged into that, whether you fit or not. And it occurs to me what a difficult task you have to balance, this broad general objective of education, this word education, with hundreds of different individuals. So you have to recognize the individuality of each and every student while addressing that ultimate goal.
Yeah, and so we're starting to realize, we have families who are choosing to homeschool their child. And so how do we reach out to those families and re-engage them in our Clear Creek School District? So we've just recently had a board presentation where Colorado Digital Learning Services presented, they provide hundreds of courses online that allows the students to have maybe possibly a hybrid situation where they're taking courses online for homeschooling, but they want to take science or electives, which are so unique that you have to have hands-on, be present for the experience, to have those at our brick-and-mortar buildings, and then hopefully we can start attracting them to start coming back and say, we have these options. You can take courses here at the school. You can do courses somewhere else. You can do it online. So we're starting to realize that how we need to
individualize
those experiences for our students. And with technology, it does allow us that opportunity.
Yeah.
And for kids who are struggling too, that also provides an opportunity to say, hey, can I do this a little alternatively? Mm-hmm. But I still want to be here for school. Mm-hmm. I still want to be on the team. I still want to be part of the program. I want to participate in the activities that are happening after school. And so how do we help support them, too, to say, hey, we need to meet you where you are, and then we can help you be successful and graduate, walk with your class.
Good for the student. And also talk about how that may be good for your budget.
Yeah, because we get state funding. We're fortunate to have a very supportive community that supports us also. And so when we have those students enrolled in our district, we get funding based on the pupil. And so if we have them part of the day or all the day, it gives us money for our education system, and then we have money to put into programming to expand that for our student population.
Mm-hmm. We have just 10 minutes left.
So much more to talk about.
Yeah, there's so much more to talk about. But one of the things that is going to be impactful to the whole community is the budget of the school district, as the budgets for all the communities are in crisis, primarily from let's say that the Henderson Mine 10 years ago, the budget contribution to all of the taxing agencies in Clear Creek County was, you know, probably 7 or 8 times what it is today.
Yes.
And so that's a hole that has to be filled if we expect to have the level of service everywhere, including the school district that we desire and that we need to have a vibrant community. So let's talk about the budget a little bit. I'm going to put you on the spot. Anybody know how much your budget is this year?
I haven't memorized it, but we are efficient with what we have available to us. I mean, as you know, our state taxes are coupled to the federal taxes. And mm-hmm. when they passed the Big Beautiful Bill last July, that significantly reduced the amount of money we came into the state for taxes. Now, we all appreciate not having to pay as much taxes and get the refunds and so forth, but then somewhere it's going to impact how we provide services in our state. And so we are really struggling as a state. $1.4 billion shortfall in funding. Mm. And so they've had to make the tough decisions at the Capitol to, you know, make everything ends meet. And they're still struggling with that in the last few days of the legislative session. And we know those are starting to impact us as a school district. We are a small school district. As with all of Colorado schools, they have declining enrollment. So we are having a aging population, less kids in our communities. And so because of that, it's having an impact on us too, budgetary-wise, too. So we are making adjustments and trying to make everything to take care of the needs of our students, take care of making sure we attract and retain quality staff, and making sure that we provide them compensation that we're trying to get towards that parity. That's why we're going to be asking for a ballot measure in the fall to say, hey, we need to invest in our staff. Our staff are essential to the schools opening every day, the kids getting to school on the buses safely, and getting the best education we can provide them. And it takes funds to do that. And so we have a legacy of great education in Clear Creek. We need to continue that.
Yeah. Are raises at this point in time tied to the passing of the ballot initiative?
Well, we're looking at, the board right now is looking at giving some sort of compensation package this year. Mm-hmm. But for the future compensation, if we are going to give the compensation that our staff dearly needs, mm-hmm. we do need a passage of a ballot measure because we need to look down 5-10 years down the road to make sure that they can bank on having funds available to them. When you're a starting teacher in a district and you're like, do I have a chance of getting compensation to raise my salary so I can invest in the community and buy a house and, you know, buy the needs and raise a family, they need those funds to do that.
Right.
Well, mentioned a ballot initiative a couple of times. Let's get into the specifics of that. How much money are you trying to raise, and what's the mill levy assessment going to be?
So we're looking at right now a debt-free levy as one of our options. We'll be also pulling a bond, too, but we're looking at a debt-free levy, and that will allow us to take some of our operating expenses off of our budget so that we can put that towards compensation because, as I said, we need that to go forward. Now, the package is something we're polling right now to see what the voters are looking at, but we want to make sure that we have compensation for at least 5-10 years down the road mm-hmm. so that we can say to voters, you're going to trust us to make sure we take care of our people so that we don't have to come back to you again and again and again. We have a long runway of providing compensation for our staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to sound negative on this thing, but, you know, there's been sales tax has been raised by all the municipalities. Mm-hmm. The county has recently raised property taxes for the emergency services district. And, I think that they may be coming back for more as well. And between the federal government cutting back resources and the reduction of resources locally, everyone's squeezed, and there are just not a lot of good options, are there?
No, I mean, we know that public education is the foundation of our communities, and Clear Creek, that is so true because we are investing in our future. Mm-hmm. If we want our students to be those students who come back and contribute as adults in our community, we need to support them now, and that's through supporting our staff and making sure they have the resources like Warren Tech. If we want plumbers in our community, if we want electricians in our community, if we want educators in our community, we want law enforcement staff, we want firefighters, we have to invest in them now as students in our school district so they come back and they love this community and they invest back themselves, raising their family and having their kids in our schools. So it's investment in the future is really what it's about.
Yeah, and nobody wants to live in a community with a second-rate school district or other institutions that are not, what they considered up to standard. And so if you want the community to slowly deteriorate, then don't pay for the services that are required. It's that simple in my mind. You have to pay. And you talked about everybody likes to not pay taxes. Well, I don't want to put it on the tab for later. I try to pay off my credit card bills every month, and I try to live within my means. And when you have tax breaks, somebody's got to pay for the services.
Mm-hmm. Well, and taxes get a bad rap, I think.
Yeah.
When our taxes support something like a quality education, preschool, and I hope even younger at some point.
Agreed.
All the way to through high school, 12th grade, with the quality personnel that we have, the people who are in this room with us today who give so much. Jessica's job is a volunteer job, and there are a lot of people who put a lot of time and energy into our school district who are volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And kudos to you, Jessica, the other school board members, and all those people, because they help people like Wes make our schools great. Mm-hmm. So that's why, I want to start fighting back a little bit about this tax thing. I do think taxes are levied unfairly. And one of the things that, Mark, we need to do is to have someone come on our show and talk about the graduated income tax that will be on the ballot next November.
Yeah, well, I'm willing to do that anytime. I think that's part of why people hate taxes, because they see it as an unfair system that's been implemented and manipulated over the years by special interest. And I certainly am frustrated by that. But as I've said before, and I'll say again right now, in the words of Oliver Wendell Holmes, I love paying taxes. It's how I buy civilization.
Yes. I would love for us just to talk about what things we want from our community. We want those first responders to come to our homes in those mm-hmm. emergency cases. What is that worth to us?
Yeah.
Right.
What is it worth to us to have students coming out of our schools that can think critically, mm-hmm. think for themselves, to speak for themselves and speak up for those things that are affecting them.
Right.
And when we start to put the value to those things, mm-hmm. we'll realize how little we're really paying in each year.
Yeah.
It goes, I'm going to say further than that. We've got a wonderful library district.
It's amazing.
It supplements the fine work that the school district does tremendously. Let's say that we have a rec district that provides healthy activities, social and physical activities for children and adults. I go to the rec center 5-6 days a week, and there's a regular crew in the morning, and that's good for me. It's good for me both physically and emotionally to engage in those people. When I see Lori there, I can't wait to talk to her and others. And so all of these organizations. I once worked at the rec district. I was a director there, and people used to say to me, "Why should I have to pay taxes for that? I'm never going to the rec center." I said, just like the schools and the library and the firefighters, if you want to live in a community that other people want to live in, you've got to pay for those things, mm-hmm. Whether you use it directly or you take an indirect benefit from that. So
part of our vibrant, vibrant community. And please, Jessica and Wes, come on with us soon.
Sure.
As you prepare for a new school year.
Yes.
Let's see, graduation is coming up.
May 22nd.
May 22nd.
May 22nd.
Yep. Yeah. How many?
Yeah, how many seniors are graduating?
I can't speak to that, but they're preparing already. I know that we got some amazing combo. We got a Daniels Fund scholarship winner. We have a Betcher's Fund scholarship. We've got a We have a possible academy student who's going to be graduating, going to one of the academies. So I'm hearing great things out of this graduating class. So I'm excited to celebrate them on the 22nd.
We always have amazing students.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that both of my children went from their first day to their last through the school district here, and they both have professional positions now. So you know, the school district has had a high standard for years, and it sounds like we're going to continue on that path for some time to come.
With a stable executive team,
yes.
A superintendent who's willing to stay here for a long time.
Yo.
Yay. And a school board that's working hard. So please come back and share information with us.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And Lori, thanks for arranging this show today. Folks, we'll be back next week. We're going to have Chuck Harmon in, the mayor of Idaho Springs. He's going to give us an update on activities here in town. Until then, 8 o'clock Saturday morning with Mozart. See you then. Bye.